Now, to explain what One Faith is all about, Steve James.
God bless you all. Have a seat. I wrote out my notes, and if anyone needs a copy, my wife has some extra. First of all, I'd like to thank the board for the privilege of teaching God's Word. It's always a privilege to teach or to speak God's Word or to talk about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Julian. Yeah. Is there any more of the Spanish? Okay. Well, I think we have some of each. You could have both if you wanted. All righty. Well, God bless you all in the wonderful name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the sweetest name I know, Jesus Christ. And to get into the subject of the One Faith, on the note here, I have a copy of our theme verse, so I'll just read it with you. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith. And that word faith is pistis, and it's the noun form. And we'll look at this in a little more detail. One baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I think, you know, when we look at the one faith, we have to give a look at a little background. But the word faith is translated from the Greek word pistis, and it's the noun pistis. And there is a verb, a Greek word, pistuo, which is the verb. And is the verb form of faith. Most commonly translated believing, or some form of believing. And I want to go to Mark chapter 11, verse 22, just to show a little bit about believing and the word faith, okay? And it says here in verse 22, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith, pistis, the noun, in God. And I was always taught a simple translation is believe God. You get some information about God, believe God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, pistuo, the verb, the action word. Okay? The action word. One of the things that I underlined here in this verse is the word, and Jesus saith, he said something. And then he goes on to say, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say, he says it. You can see the action in the context, the action. Who shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, pistuo, the action word, the verb, that those things which he saith, see, he says it again, shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, and when you pray, you say it. You ask God for things, right? Believe, pistuo, the verb. And then what happens? It says, that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Absolutely have them. Shall puts it in the absolute. You shall absolutely have whatsoever thou sayest. That's believing. Pretty wonderful. And to demonstrate this a little more, I'd like to go to Mark chapter 5, verse 24. It's right in our notes here. And Jesus went with him. He went with this guy, Jairus, a leader in the synagogue, because his daughter was sick. And he came to him and asked Jesus if he would go with her. And he went with him. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Does anyone here know anyone like that, or heard stories like that, where they've had problems, they've gone to every doctor they could, and they were not any better? Huh. I guess it still happens. And so, but rather grew worse. And when she heard, and I underline the word heard, because if she heard it, someone must have what? Said it. Someone must have told her the story of Jesus Christ, the record of Jesus Christ. So she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she what? Said. Sounds like an action word, doesn't it? She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Hallelujah. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Who did this? And his disciples said to him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him, I underline that too, all the truth. Told him all the truth. She says, I heard about you, Jesus, and I just believed if I touched the hem of your garment, I'd be healed. You know, pretty. Some people said she stole her healing. Doesn't matter to me. The thing is, she got her healing, right? But she told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy pistis, the noun, right, has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only what? Believe. Pistuo, the verb. I think it's important to know, when you're looking at the English, which word is the noun and which word is the verb. That's more important to me than which way they translate it. Either faith or believing. Is it the noun or is it the verb? Yes, great understanding of that. But I wanted also to point out this. As soon, here's Jesus talking to the woman and telling her, hey, it's your pistis that is the reason that you're healed. And as soon as he's telling her this, someone comes from the side, like side swipes him and says, hey, don't bother the master anymore, or your daughter is dead. And Jesus goes, oh man, if the woman didn't come here, and no, he didn't do none of that, did he? As soon as he heard the word that was spoken, he said, he speaks unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only what? believe. Pistuo, the verb, the action word, believe. Pretty wonderful. And I use this record to teach us the difference between the noun and the verb so that we can see that. We need a little background into the word faith, which is translated from the Greek word pistis, which is the noun. And we all know that a noun is a what? Well, it says right here, person, place, and thing. I don't know what grade you learned that. But it's a person, place, or thing. And the verb form is pistuo in the Greek. And we all know that a verb is an action verb, right? It's an action word. You can see the action as you read it. The word pistis is the noun, which is used 244 times in the Greek, in the Bible. And it's usually translated faith. And the Greek word pistuo, the verb, is used almost the same amount of time, four more times in the King James, and is translated mostly as believe, believing, believed, believest, and other forms of the word believing. The Greek word pistis, the noun, and pistuo, the verb, need to be looked at closely and in the context of what's being written. One thing that we also need to consider is that sometimes in the English, a normal verb is used as a noun. When a noun form is attached, it serves the same function as a noun in the sentence. And this is called a gerund. And a gerund is a noun form with a verb ending in ing. Words like swimming. If you are swimming, that's an action verb. But if you are, what I like about you the best is you're swimming, it's a noun. See that? Typing. If you're typing, it's a verb. But if the thing that you're the best at is typing, it's a what? A noun. That's just something to consider when looking at these words. Fishing. All of these. Drinking. Singing. You know, Bruce Mahone is a really good at singing. He's really good at it. I know because I sat next to him. But what I like about him most is his singing. See, it's a noun at that point. You see that? You can tell by reading it in the context. Plus, we got such a bonus here. Plus, the word in the Greek is the word pistis. So it tells us it's the noun. So we always know that it's the noun, which is really cool. So it tells you in the Greek that it's a noun. And sometimes, you know, believing is used as a noun. So that's pretty good. I believe, as far as understanding goes, it's easier to understand both words, pistis and pistuo, as forms of believing. It's just easier in understanding. See, the word faith is a noun, and there's no real problem with that, but what's the verb form of faith? Faithing? No such word. See, it has none. So that's where a problem. And it really comes in handy with the woman with the issue of blood, because Jesus says it was your faith that made you whole. So what faith are they talking about? Her Jewish faith? No. Yeah, well, thank you. That's what I thought, too. So it's even more confusing when you think about that. And Jairus, when he came up there, Jesus said to Jairus, who was there for the whole thing that happened, and he says, be not afraid, only what? Believe, pistuo, the action word. And see, another thing that I see with the word faith is that it has a mystical tone to it. You know? It's an unknown quality that you can't quite see. The only thing that you can say is you have to take it by faith. And I've never really liked taking anything by faith. I wanted to know. That's what some Catholic priest told me when I didn't know what the Trinity was. Well, I had to take it by faith. This unknown thing. Something you don't really know. It has a mystical and unknown tone to it. It's not concrete, and there's no way you can really understand it except it's by faith. And you know what? That's no explanation at all. God's word is for us, and He wants us to know and to understand. God doesn't make it hard for us to understand by simply translating these words either as the noun or the verb and using some form of believing makes it easier for us to understand. Okay? So, let's get into the subject and look at it. Okay? And I want to start in Romans chapter 3, verse 21. And all these verses, by the way, that I'm using here are all from the King James. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Everyone's noses is coming. Even the righteousness of God, which is by pistis, the noun of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that do what? Believe, pistuo, the verb. They believe the verb. You know, they believe the word, the verb. They believe, right? The action word. And because of that, they receive the noun, pistis. For all have, it says, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation or a payment in full through pistis, the noun, in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. You know, it's the pistis, the believing in His blood. Now, the word blood here is used as a figure of speech, a part for the whole. It wasn't that He had His finger pricked and He put a little blood out. It was that He went through two shambles of trials, was beaten and beaten and beaten. They put a cloth over His face and they'd punch Him. Who did it, Jesus? Who did it? I believe that God has given us the gentlest way to say this. But when we know the story of the record of Jesus Christ, we know what that means. When we read about Jesus Christ and what He went through. So we know it. It's through His blood, through what He accomplished for us. It's just amazing. It was a payment in full, remission of sins. It says, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth, pistis, the noun, in Jesus. Where is boast then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? Nope. But by the law of faith, or pistis, believe in the noun. Wherefore we conclude that a man is just by pistis, the noun, believing, without the deeds of the law. Is He the God of the Jews only? Is He not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. We've seen some of this already. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by pistis, believing, and the uncircumcision through pistis, the noun. Do we then make the law through pistis, the noun? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. See, What happens to an individual is they believe that Jesus Christ accomplished the works. And when they believe that, they receive the noun pistis of Jesus Christ. And they are set apart. Pretty neat. By believing that Jesus Christ did the works for them. And in Romans chapter 4, verse 1, it says, what shall we then say that pertaineth to Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath thereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham did what? Believeth God. Pistuo, the verb. He did the action word, right? He believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, what did Abraham do? Well, I'll tell you what he did. You can read it in Genesis. But he took his son, brought him into the wilderness, tied him up, hands and feet, grabbed a knife, and took the knife, and was ready to kill his own son because he believed that God would raise him up again. And he took that knife and he got ready to... And God said, stop. We got a ram here in the thickets. The reason that Abraham did that because he believed that God would raise him from the dead. And that's what it's saying. It counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of death. But to him that worketh not, but believeth, pistillo, the verb, on him that justifies the ungodly, who justifieth the ungodly, his noun, pistis, is counted for righteousness. Once you believe the verb, you now have the noun pistis. You're a believer. Sometimes they call people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ believers. Lots of times when people come to our fellowships and they've been coming for a while, you know what we call them? Believers. Matter of fact, you guys are all believers. That's a noun. Okay, saying, blessed are those. Okay, well, let's go back to verse 6. It says, let's go back to verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth, pistuo, on him that justifieth the ungodly, his noun, pistis, the noun, is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth this blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessing then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that pistis, the noun, was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness when he believed it. And it's the same thing when we believe what? Well, we believe that Jesus Christ accomplished the work for us. We believe that God raised him from the dead. Just like Abraham did. It's pretty neat. And Bruce read these verses, but they apply so well. Romans 5, 1 and 2, it says, therefore, being justified by pistis, the noun, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did the works, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by pistis, the noun, into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, because we believed in the accomplished works of Jesus Christ. That's our faith. That's our common faith. And we can see it as we read in Galatians here in chapter 3, verse 6. Even as Abraham did what? Believe. The verb, right? He believed. The verb. God, it was counted unto him for righteousness. Therefore ye, this is, know ye therefore that they which are of faith and now the same are the children of Abraham. When you believe God's word, you are the same and are called the children of Abraham. And the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through pistis, the noun, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of pistis, the noun, are blessed with faithful Abraham. Just like Abraham believed that God would raise his son, we believe that God did raise Jesus Christ from the dead. And we believe that Jesus Christ accomplished it all for us, that we read about throughout the church epistles, throughout the book of, the Gospels. But you know what? The topic of the Bible from Genesis 3:15 to the very end is about Jesus Christ. These are the records that prove to us, and we believed. And once that happened, we know what happens. We get born again. Pretty new, neat stuff. And it was preached before, verse 9, so then they which be of pistis, the noun, are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law, are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And in Romans, we know that nobody could do it. All have come short of the glory of God, so nobody could do it. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by pistis, the noun. And the law is not of pistis, the noun, but the man that does them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Jesus Christ hung on a tree. He was cursed for us. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through pistis, the noun. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannul it or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And this seed is, by the way, singular. He said, not as seeds, as to many, but as to one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that at the covenant that was confirmed before in God, in Christ, the law which man disannuleth or addeth there too. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And once again, it's singular, the seed. He said, not as to seeds. I must have added that. But I'll keep reading. But as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Jesus Christ was the promised seed. From Genesis 3:15. He was thy seed. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 450 years after Abraham, that's what it's talking about, after Abraham, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promised. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. He said, to thy seed. Therefore, then serveth the law. Why did we have the law if this wasn't going to be part of it? It was added because of transgressions. People were just blowing it left and right. So they came up with the law to try to keep people together and to show them a pattern of what should happen in the future with sacrifices and things about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. You know what that's saying? A normal mediator is somebody that stands between. Well, God didn't need anyone to stand between. God did it himself. He was the mediator, and God said, this is what I'm going to do. No, he's not a one. Is the law then against the promise? God forbid. For if there had been a law given that could have given us life, verily righteousness should have come by the law. But it didn't, because nobody could do it. How many people could do the law? Okay, nobody. We got that, right? Nobody could do it. But the scriptures had concluded all in the sin that the promise by pistis of or in Jesus Christ might be given to them that do what? Pistuo, the action word. Boom, believe. Believe. You do the action, then you get the noun. You believe, and then you get the noun. But before pistis, the noun, came, you know what we were? We were kept under the law, shut up unto the pistis, the noun, which should afterwards be revealed. Therefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us, this is in italics, I'd scratch it, until Christ, that we might be justified by the noun pistis. But after that pistis, the noun, has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. You know what that means? We're no longer under the law. We're no longer under the law. For ye are all the children of God by pistis, the noun, in Jesus Christ. You know who had to believe for this to come to pass? Well, first of all, Abraham believed, and he was our example. Jesus Christ had to believe. Jesus Christ had to believe, and he said in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but yours be done. And he had to believe that if he went through this outrageous punishment and die on the tree, that God would raise him from the dead. So Jesus Christ believed. And who believes today? Who's the third one that believes? Us. We're the ones who believe. Pretty neat. So Jesus Christ believed. For of many of you have been baptized unto Christ, have put on Christ. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. That's the one faith we have. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. And in Romans it says we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. God looks at you just like looking at Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ fulfilled it that big. Just like Jesus Christ. Romans 10:8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. The word is close. That is the word of faith, pistis, the noun, which we preach. You know when we preach this? When we first meet people, we tell them the story of Jesus Christ. When they come to fellowship, we teach them a little bit more. Then we read to them a little bit of what happened in the Gospels. And we keep teaching about Jesus Christ. You know, when do we teach about Jesus Christ? All the time. And then they get it. They start to get it, right? So we preach the word, right? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe, pistuo, the verb, right? The action word, in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's how people get saved. That's how they become part of the body of Christ. That's how they start to have life and really have life. It all comes by us telling the story, by telling the record. Pretty neat. For with the heart man believeth, pistuo, the verb, unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. See, with the mouth, you say it. You say it. You might say it in your head, but you say it. That's an action word. That's believing. Jesus Christ, when he talked to Jairus and all kinds of people in the Gospels, he made them say it. He did. He'd say, oh, no, believe word. Oh, according to your believing. It's just wonderful. So, for with the heart man believeth, but still unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth, pistuo, the verb, the action word on him, what does it say? Shall not be disappointed or ashamed. Pretty neat. Look at Rome, and then further down in Romans it says this. It says in Romans 10:17, so faith, and that's the word pistis, the noun, cometh by what? Hearing. Does it say reading? But I guess if you read it, you do hear. But you know something? I think there's something powerful in the spoken word. I think when someone teaches the word, it talks about preaching the word. People think it's foolishness to preach the word. And God says, well, this is what I want. The spoken word is powerful. That's why we tell the record of Jesus Christ, the story of Jesus Christ, so they can believe it. So faith cometh, pistis, you know. The faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And most translations have it by the word of what? Christ. That's why we preach Christ unto them. Isn't that what Philip did in Samaria? He preached Christ unto them. Sounds like a good thing to do. I think I'm going to do it in some of my fellowships. But anyhow, it's good. Hey, I want to go into a little more if I can. In John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 9. And I think this will bring it full circle for us. But it says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. That means it's better. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his son. See, he thinks his son's cool. He that believeth, pistil, the verb, on the Son of God, hath witness in himself. He that believeth, the verb, right, pistil, not God, hath made him a liar, because he, pistuo, the verb, believe not the record that God gave his son. But we tell people that God gave his son so they can make that decision. You know? And this is the record that God hath given us eternal life. And this life is in what? The Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that do what? Believe. The action word, pistuo. I like to do some action. on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may pistuo, the verb, on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask, and once again, we're asking, we're opening our mouths, right? Anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. Do you want anything from God? Ask Him. That's what it's saying. And then you know He hears us, so then you go get it. In 1 John 5:2, it says this: by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. And the word commandments has an S at the end. And when there's an S at the end of a word, it means it's a plural. And it means what? Two or more. Right? That's okay, we have the same English things. Okay? We keep His commandments, for this is the love of God. And we heard a little bit about the love of God today. That we keep His commandments, has an S at the end of it. And His commandments with an S at the end of it is what? Not grievous. So what are these commandments? Does anyone know? Well, if you were a Bible student that read your Bible and you read the gospel, the 1 John, it would tell you in chapter 3, verse 22. Pretty neat, huh? It says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments. What kind of letter? S. Commandments. Plural. Meaning what? Two or more. Two or more, right? And we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is the commandment. No S. So this is the commandment. Number one. That we believe, that we should believe, pistuo, the verb, on the name of the of His Son, Jesus Christ. And then there's another word, and that's a conjunction. And then it goes and says, love one another. Like Marty was teaching on, love one another as He gave us commandment. No S at the end. See that? So, one commandment, we believe in the name of Jesus Christ. There's one commandment. The other commandment, and what does it say? Love one another. Pretty neat. That is just wonderful. And then it goes on to say, as He gave us commandment. And Marty gave us the commandment. She read it right to us. But I got another one here. In John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give unto you. See, Jesus told them. What is this new commandment? It says, that ye love one another as I have loved you, and that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you, what? Love one another. All the way through here, it's the Greek word agape. And this is very interesting to me because Jesus Christ was teaching something that wasn't available yet. It wasn't available until the next administration, which is the Grace Administration. It wasn't available again until people got born again. But He's teaching them about something that's going to happen in the future. And that's what we were asked to do. Pretty neat. Now, I want to finish up on 1 John 3:24, and we'll see it brings it full circle where it says, and he that keepeth his commandments with an S, meaning two or more, dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit, which Eldo talked about, which he had given us. And see, and you know, this is a figure of speech, and I forget the name of it. It's something like parakalesis or something. But anyhow, it's a figure of speech meaning like a bullseye, where it starts off plural, two singles, and then the plural. A bullseye, figure of speech, emphasizes what God wants us to know. Pretty neat. And then let's go back to 1 John 5. It says, By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our pistis, the noun. For who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth, pistuo, the verb, that Jesus is the Son of God? I started out by saying Jesus Christ is the sweetest name I know. It's by the name of Jesus Christ that miracles are performed. It's by the name of Jesus Christ that people get born again. It's by the name of Jesus Christ that people can have victory in life. This is the victory that we believe in the name of Jesus Christ. This is our faith, our noun, the noun believing, you know, that we receive when we believe in the accomplished works of Jesus Christ. That makes me think, I know what Dr. Worrell was talking about when he said, the sin problem is over. It was over in Jesus Christ. We now just believe in the name of Jesus Christ. And we do what Bruce said and use the access. And we do all the things that we've been learning. And this is what we teach people about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they can get born again too and have victorious lives, more than conquerors. What else? How about the more abundant life? Well, dear God, just thank you for your word, God, and for what it says and what's available to us, God. And thank you for all that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did for us, God. And I thank you that we can continue to learn about what he did for us and be thankful and utilize it to live more than abundant and powerful lives, God. And then we can help others live the same, God. So I thank you for these things in the name of your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.